It's great to see everyone here. I'm glad we had a good turnout. I'm going to give a quick introduction to what we're going to be talking about over the next 6 weeks and then hand it over to Rob, but let's open in prayer. Father, we are full of gratitude for how you have blessed us as your people and specifically how you've blessed us as a local body and the ways you've provided for us, the ways you've built us up together and given us growth and unity, and you've built our faith and friendships that we have here. We give you all the glory for doing a mighty work in our midst. We thank you for your Spirit who lives with us and among us and in us, and who is knitting us together as a body, building us up in maturity in Christ for the final day. And as we consider who we are as a church and what you're doing in us, what you've called us to do, and where we've been as a church, we pray that we would honor you in our thoughts and our and in these lessons, that we would be able to grow together even more so, and that we would learn how to worship you in spirit and truth, that we would learn how to be brothers and sisters in Christ for one another. We would learn how to reach out to the world around us, to those who are in need, those who are lonely, those who need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that you would use this to build us up as families, as couples, and as a church body. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to try to keep these fairly brief, and then have a time of Q&A at the end. And I'm going to give you sort of an outline right now of what we're going to be talking about over the next 6 weeks. This, I might tweak this a little bit, but this is going to be what we cover in one way or another. And this is not exhaustive. There's sub-points to the points that I'm going to go through here that are not made explicit. But this first week is going to be a history of our church, how we got here, how the Lord brought together the initial core group, and then where we've been since then, in the last couple decades or so at this point, getting close to a couple decades, I guess. And Rob's going to lead that. There's nobody more qualified to do that than Rob, who's been here from the beginning. And after he's finished with his presentation, and he puts me to shame with his overhead projector that I'm not probably going to have in my talks, then we'll have Q&A, and we'll be done. And then next week we'll come back, and we'll talk about why we worship the way we worship. You've probably recognized at this point that we have a different liturgy than a lot of churches, and it's intentional. There are reasons behind it. We're going to talk about the biblical theological reasons for the way we worship God on the Lord's Day. And then we'll spend a couple of sessions, couple classes after that, the third and fourth one, talking about kind of our history going back to Christ, because our history is a part of a much larger history, the history of the Christian church. And within that, within that discussion, we'll talk about our doctrinal standards, beginning with the ecumenical creeds, the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, the Athanasian Creed, and why those are important, how they developed in the early church, some of the heresies that they were addressing. And then we'll talk about our Reformed doctrinal standards, specifically the three forms of unity, which are our church's reformational, Reformed doctrinal standards. Of course, the Word of God is the ultimate authority underlying all those other authorities, lesser authorities like the creeds and the confessions that we subscribe to. So we'll talk about why those are important and what our theology is and how it's rooted in history and then ultimately rooted in Scripture. And then last couple of classes, we'll talk about what it means to be the church. What is our mission? That's what I have down here. What is our mission? Part one, our life for one another. And then what is our mission? Part two, our life for the world. And then we'll begin to discuss what it actually means to live together as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, what it means to be a church in the world, and maybe talk about some of the principles that I mentioned in the sermon today. So that's a very broad outline of where we're going and some of the things we'll talk about, and hopefully we can also address questions at the end of each one of those classes. Okay? So I'm going to hand it over to Rob.
Got it going? All right. Well, as he said, as Pastor Sexton said, we want to here, first off, get an idea of how did we get here? What is the history of our church? How did it form? Why did we form? Why did we do some of the things that we're doing? Really looking at it overall as how has God guided and blessed us in this whole process? It's really been pretty amazing to see what's been happening. I'm going to build a timeline through it. We're going to end up, of course, in today, 2018. I'm going to start back at 1997. You got to start somewhere. But the reason for that is we, the Davis family, we were living in the Chicago suburbs at that time. And I think we have a story very similar to many of you who moved here from somewhere. You were living somewhere and wanted to go somewhere else. We wanted to get out of the city. I grew up on a farm. I wanted my kids to grow up in the country. And I did some research, looking around, where seems like a good place to go, affordable land and that sort of thing. Missouri, that seemed like the place to go. So in August of 1997, we said, let's move. And with this story of the company I worked for actually paid for me to move away. But I won't go into that story. But anyway, that enabled Mayflower to be the ones who moved our possessions here to Southwest Missouri. So in August of 1997, that's where we ended up. But we did something that no one should do. And I think some of you also did what we did. And that was we moved without first finding a church. We were thinking, well, hey, we're going to the Bible Belt. Sure, you can find a church there. So we moved here. We started going to a Baptist church. There are a lot of those around. But as we were doing that, I already had a leaning toward Reformed theology. I had some time since we moved to begin studying some of the books that I had in seminary, digging into church history. The more I studied, the more I learned, the more Reformed I saw things needed to be. And by Reformed, talking about back to the Reformation with Calvin and Luther and Knox and Zwingli and all of those guys back in the 1500s and 1600s of what happened in the church at that time. We looked around here and there were no Reformed churches. There was one PCA church in Springfield, but it was closing. We went to one service and then it closed. So we're trying to figure out what are we going to do. We did find one church in the south part of Springfield. We started going there at the end of 1999, and that's where we met the Frasers. They were also going there. We met them, we started talking, and we were looking for some of the same things as we were looking for a church. That church was partially there, but it wasn't really there. We came to the point where we thought, I guess as a family, we're going to have to move again. But this time we're going to do it right. We're going to find a church first. So we began going around to different places in the country, way over to the East Coast and different places. We knew that the Frasers were already planning to move. They had their house on the market. And they were going to move to Monroe, Louisiana, to go to Auburn Avenue Presbyterian Church, where Steve Wilkins was the pastor. Just a side note there, some of you who were here a few years ago remember that he was the speaker at our summer conference. I think that was about 2 or 3 years ago when we had him come in. But in March of 2003, we decided, well, let's take a trip to Monroe, Louisiana. And we visited Auburn Avenue Presbyterian Church down there. The Wilkins had us over for lunch. And while we were there, I was talking to him about our problem in finding a church and thinking about moving there. Pastor Wilkins said, don't move, start one. Start a church. I said, okay, how do we go about that? And he said, well, start a Bible study. So we came back here and we began thinking about how do we go about that? How do we start a Bible study and get things going? The Frasers had their house on the market for quite a while at this point, and it wasn't selling. So I went to Kurt and I said, well, while you're here, will you help us? Will you help us, you know, with this Bible study and maybe get a church started? In the back of my mind, I was thinking, maybe if we get it going, they won't move. Guess what happened? And then it was also at that time that through Anna and Krishan's parents, the Hansons, they introduced us to the Cooks. So we met the Cooks at about that time in March of 2003, I believe it was. We had them over our place, and we had the core group to put something together, so we decided to start a Bible study. And in doing that, we rented a chapel at Glendale Baptist Church. You've probably seen that driving by on 65, just south of Sunshine. We had people from different backgrounds. There were some other people coming in at different times. We wanted to study something that gave us all a common understanding. So we got this video series by R.C. Sproul called What is Reformed Theology? We'd watch a 20-minute video, and then we would have a discussion about it. There were several of those, so that took us a few months to go through that. And during that process, we found a better place to meet. Faith Lutheran Church, which was north of I-44 on Glenstone by Valley Watermill Road there, turned out to be a better place for us. They had their Family Life Center back here. And that actually became our home for 9 years as a Bible study. And then beyond that, while we were having our Bible study there, one of the things that we started out with, which we didn't realize was going to be a big impact on forming a community as a church, but even as a Bible study, each family would bring a cooler of food, and after we had our study, we would sit down, break out the food, and we'd all sit there and eat together. So that has been something that we have culturally done even before we were a church. We started doing that. We also started singing together, breaking up into parts, and learning all the different parts to songs. So that's why if you're newer here, you can hear people singing different parts in different parts of the congregation. It's not because we're all expert musicians. It's because we've been practicing these things for years, learning the parts. And that's what we're trying to do over there, is help everyone get caught up on some of those songs. But those helped us build as a community. We moved to Faith Lutheran Church there in, I believe it was August of 2003. We continued our study. We moved from What is Reformed Theology to a study by Steve Wilkins. It was an audio series, which again, we would listen to some, and then we would have a discussion about it, called Unto You and Your Children. And what that covered was children and the covenant, what that all meant, which included baptism, and it included children and communion. That whole topic was something that was of interest to all of us, as we all had several children. We had some rather large families to start out with, and you see lots of kids around now that continues. But we went from that study then to a series on the creeds and the confessions, the three forms of unity, some of what we will get to in future sessions here. That really took us into 2004, going through those. But I want to go back a little bit just to give you an idea of what was going on. We were continuing to grow during that time. People were coming as we had Bible studies. We didn't really do any advertising. It was just word of mouth. And to give you an example of some of the crazy ways that people came to know about us and came, back early on, probably even in 2002, yeah, it was 2002, there was an obscure magazine, Quit You Like Men. Has anybody ever seen that one? Just a few people. In there, somebody in Clinton, Missouri, 90 miles north of Springfield, put in an ad that they were interested in these same sorts of things. And I thought, wow, that's not too far away. So I contacted and ended up he and I went together down to Auburn Avenue Presbyterian Church to the pastor's conference. They have a conference every year in January. So the two of us carpooled down, talked and things on the way down there, went to the conference, came back, and then that was in January of 2003. Yeah. When we went to that, came back, and during that year then, Justin Boyle contacted him. And he said, well, because at that time, Justin was living down near Branson. That's a long way between Branson and Clinton. So he said, well, there are some people in Springfield that are doing some things. So he put him in contact with us. So here we are having our study, and in walks Justin, and he brings Tracy and Blake. And then after that, the Brandons came as well. So all of those people came from that kind of obscure connection through a magazine that we weren't advertising, but someone else was. So just the ways that God was working, bringing people in, interesting to see what he did. Now, while we were having the Bible study, there were some other things going on behind the scenes. One of those was Kurt and LD and I were on the phone having conference calls many times, probably sometimes more frequent than once a week, trying to put together a constitution for a church. Because we had received counsel from Pastor Wilkins and others, absolutely, do not start a church, do not have a service until you have a constitution formed and in place so that you have something to start with. That was wise counsel. We followed that and we put together a constitution. So that's where that came from. We pulled together pieces and bits from constitutions of other churches. Another thing that was going on, we didn't want to start a church and be all by ourselves as an independent church. We believed the body of Christ was bigger than that, and we had a responsibility to be involved in it with other churches. So then the question is, well, where do we fit? With all of the things that we've been studying and learning about the scriptures and what's there, what other denomination is there? So I began studying the different denominations, investigating what they were about. And some of the things that we were looking for, one is that God is sovereign over everything, including salvation. That was a critical thing that we were looking for. Another is children participating in the worship service and in communion. That was a big thing for us. Kind of hard to find out there. A positive view of the future of the gospel and the church, that Jesus will be victorious through history as the gospel spreads. That, again, wasn't necessarily that easy to find in churches, especially putting all these things together. And another one is that God's word governs and shapes every aspect of life. When you put all these things together, that was difficult to find another denomination that had these things, but we did find one. At that point, it was called the Confederation of Reformed Evangelicals, the CRE. This is the website from back in 1998. It's now called the CREC that we are in. But I want to take just kind of a parenthesis here, a side note, and give a little bit of a history on our denomination so you know where it came from. It was formed, believe it or not, in 1997, the same year we moved to Missouri. It was formed by three churches, two in Washington and one in Idaho, and they were at that time independent churches. They were also seeing the need to come together with others in the body of Christ. But they had a similar problem in trying to find a place where they fit because they were churches that were reforming. They weren't all the way anything. Churches that had all the way come to a place that they would fit in an existing denomination because there was a tightly defined thing that they needed to be. So they said, well, I guess we need to form our own. And so they shrunk the number of denominations from 3 to 1 by, if a church is independent, that's a denomination of its own. But they formed the CRE at that point. And by the end of 1998, they had their second presbytery meeting, and a fourth church joined them from Texarkana, and Randy Booth was the pastor of that church. and I'll get to him in a little bit. I'll mention more there. But this was the website that I was looking at in 2003. At that time, by that time, they had grown to 19 churches across the country. They were all still in one presbytery. For those who aren't familiar, I think we'll get into church government a little bit later to describe more of that. But a presbytery is a grouping of churches. We'll just go with that for right now. Everybody was in one presbytery. And now, this is the website now. And I would encourage you, if you haven't been out to it, go ahead and write down crechurches.org. There's a lot of information out there about our church, about our denomination. There we go. But it is now made up of 90 churches in 17 different countries. So we've branched out into other countries around the world. Each of the presbyteries were grouped into 6 different presbyteries, and each presbytery is named by a figure in church history. So there's Anselm, Augustine, Wycliffe. We're in Tyndale. That's the name of our presbytery. And our area, we cover the upper Midwest. So that includes Missouri and Kansas and Iowa and Minnesota. And then we go over to Michigan, Indiana, and Illinois. You notice we've got a hole there, kind of a donut. Don't have any in Wisconsin yet. We're hoping that that happens soon. And then probably if we get some churches in Nebraska and the Dakotas, those will end up in our presbytery as well. But that's what we have as far as the United States, our presbytery. We also have a church in Tumen, Russia. In 2010, we became involved with a church there. If those of you who were here this past fall met Ravil and Yulia Kunikayev and their two boys as they were here from that church. He's the pastor of that church, and we have been associated with them, helping them, even having people go there, as we did last summer, to help them out. Now, another note on presbyteries. Every year, at least once, the presbyteries get together. And what that means is 2 delegates from each church can go as seated delegates. Anyone can go to the presbytery meeting, but as far as actually seated at the table to interact presbytery business and things, 2 delegates from the churches go. And the meeting this year is here at our church. Now, one of the things that happens at a presbytery meeting is we always have a worship service in the evening. So write down on your calendar, September 25th, that is Tuesday evening, we will have a worship service. And this is not the presbytery's worship service. This is the hosting church. The hosting church has a worship service, and the presbytery delegates and people that are attending from the different churches come to our worship service that evening. So put it on your calendar so that you've got it marked off, and we want as many as possible to be here and join in that worship service. And it gives you an opportunity to meet the other pastors and elders of the churches within our presbytery. So make sure you've got that on your calendar. What was that? September 25th. It's a Tuesday. It'll be in the evening, probably 7:30. That seems to be the time to start everything in the evening, doesn't it? But we will give you more information, but get that September 25th on your calendar. Okay, back to our history as a church. Back in 2003, I contacted what was then called the moderator of the CREC, and that was Randy Booth. And we have an annual conference that we started. I can't remember when our first one was. But every year we have a ball and a conference in the summer. This year it's June 23rd, so there's another thing to write down on your calendar if you don't have that yet. That's a Saturday. We'll have the conference in the daytime and then the ball that evening. Our speaker this year is Pastor Randy Booth. He was pastor of a church in Texarkana and now in Nacogdoches, Texas, so real close together there. And he'll be coming to speak. But at this time, in 2003 when I contacted him, he scheduled for us to meet at the Auburn Avenue conference that they had down there in Louisiana. We keep going down there for things. But we did that. We went and met the CREC at that point. Randy Booth was there. Oh, and there's another person we met here. Jeremy Sexton was at that conference. We hadn't known of him. He hadn't known of us. And here he was, married and had one child, lived west of Springfield. And we met. A lot of things happened down there in Louisiana at that conference. But we met him for the first time. So then when we came back, they started coming to the Bible study and were with us. But we met with Pastor Randy Booth, and he also introduced us to Pastor Jeff Neal. Those of you who were around them remember him. What you do when you start out as a new church within the CREC, you're called a mission church. We were brand new. We hadn't even started as a church yet, and we were wanting to. So what they do is they pair you up with another member church, and they basically take you under their wing and help you start. And so that is what Pastor Neal and his church in Phoenix, Arizona did at that time. He is now the pastor at the Fort Worth Church, where Jedediah and Luke Bouchard are both members. But what he did then, he came and visited us every quarter. Of course, we were on the phone with him a lot as well. But right after we got back in 2004 from that conference in Monroe, Louisiana, a month later, he came and visited us here in February of 2004. And what he did then was he constituted us as a church. That's when we became a church. February 8th, 2004, that Sunday, we had our first worship service. Pastor Neal led the service. He preached. And then we had, like I said, some large families, and we had a bunch of kids that had never been baptized. In fact, we had a service, and he did 18 baptisms. I don't have them all on there. I couldn't fit all of those pictures. But there are some of the kids being baptized, and you can see how they've changed. Interesting, like, there's Jed Brandon. There's Joshua, the guy back there doing the sound. There's Juliana and Jane. And didn't I see Kaylee here today? Is she in here? But 18 kids baptized on one Sunday morning. So that was a rather long time. And he was joking about getting baptizer's elbow. So we started our first worship service and had worship ever since then on Sundays. Pretty much, our worship service has changed a little bit here and there, but it's pretty much the same thing from way back there, because we had done quite a bit of studying and research in what we should do as we were having our worship service. And as Pastor Sexton said, we'll go over more of that, why we do what we do, in future sessions. Now, if you're looking at your clock, you might be saying, my goodness, we're only at 2004 and we've got 14 more years to go. This is going to take us till supper. No, we're going to go much faster here. I went through a lot of detail there just to give you an idea. How did this church start? Where did we come from? Why did we do some of the things? What was going on as we started the church? From here, I'll go quicker. So a year after that, in April of 2005, I was ordained as an elder. And then a year after that, in May of 2006, we called our first pastor. Pastor Sauter came in April of that year. And at this point then, when we went to the presbytery meeting in the fall, we met all of the criteria to particularize, they call it, as a church. We could stand on our own. We had our own session. We financially could support ourselves. So we became a full member church of the CREC. We moved from being a mission church to being a full member church at that point. We also were continuing to grow. We actually, at that point, had a few over 100 members. We had grown to that point there. So we outgrew the little room that we were meeting in the Faith Lutheran Church Family Life Center, and we moved into their gymnasium. Now we're going to jump ahead to 2011. In May of 2011, we ordained our first deacons, L.D. Cook and Blake Hyatt. And then in that year of 2011, late in the year, Faith Lutheran told us, you're getting bigger than we are, and we want to use our Family Life Center for something else. So would you please start looking to move? So we began looking. What are we going to do? We started thinking about, are we going to build something? And we looked into those possibilities, and that was very expensive. So then we started looking at renting, asking around places. We found out that Broadway Baptist was building a facility out on I-44, so we asked them, could we rent this facility from you? And they said, no way, we don't want to rent. We only want to sell. And it's valued at $3 million. Oh, gee, great. Yeah. Let's just pull that out of our pocket. No, that was way too much for us. There's no way we could do that. We told them, no, we can't do that. So then they offered it to us at $300,000, a tenth of the cost. And with savings that we had, donations that we were able to come up with at that point, we were able to purchase this facility. And now we had, God provided not only a sanctuary, but several buildings, a campus here that we have. So amazing things, again, to see how God worked and how he provided for us. So Christ the King Church moves to Broadway. That was a big event for us. In October of 2012, we moved in. And as we were looking at the place, we were thinking we'd get lost in here. We go wandering around downstairs. Then in August of 2014, we ordained our next deacon, Brian Spillman. And in August of 2016, our pastor resigned, and that put us in the pastoral search process to look for a pastor. And then later that year, in November, we ordained another elder, James Bramer. And then in April of 2017, we ordained another elder and deacon, Doug Peterson and Jeff Royer. Did that come on there? Yeah, it did. And then, finally, after 1.5 years of the pastoral search process, we installed Pastor Jeremy Sexton, who had been with us way back at the start, which I forgot to mention. About 1.5 years after we started as a church, he and his family picked up and moved to St. Louis to go to seminary at Covenant Theological Seminary there. And then he went on at some other churches and different things before coming back to us here. So again, how God works things is amazing. So that is the timeline from 1997 to 2018. That brings us up to today, but if you looked at those numbers, you might have noticed that February 8th, 2019, this next February coming up, will be our 15th anniversary. So that'll be exciting to celebrate. We will plan some big things for that time. But that's how we got here. Any questions? Yeah, we are unique. As I said, there were churches that couldn't find a denomination to go into because they didn't fit. There were different things. And the CREC purposefully formed to encompass different beliefs that were around a core set of Reformed beliefs. And I can't even name all of the different foundational documents that a church can found on. We are on the three forms of unity. Other churches are the Westminster Confession and Catechism and the Articles. The 39 Articles are the Anglican Church. What are some others? The London Baptist. There are Reformed Baptist churches that are able to be members. What were some others? The Helvetic Confession. So there are several that they can be formed. And it's the breadth. A word for that is Catholicity. You know, we have in our two confessions or creeds, the Apostles and Nicene Creed, it says in there the Catholic Church. And we have a note. That doesn't mean Roman Catholic. That word means universal. And we strive to be Catholic in the sense of embracing all that we can in a Reformed church perspective. All of those different confessions fit within that. So we have churches that fit in all of those, and we're able to work together as presbyteries. And every third year, we all get together, and that's called council. We just had that this past year in Florida when we all came together. Brian. Right now, how do we compare to other churches in the CREC as far as size? Right now, we're one of the largest. There are a lot of small churches in the CREC. A lot of them that are 100 or less, 100 or fewer people in the congregation. I would say there are maybe 10 that are our size or bigger. That's not precise on that, but it's somewhere around there that if there are even that. So, to see God's amazing work here and what he's done, that we've grown to that size just by his blessing. It's not like we knew what we were doing. He did it. Emily. We're right at about 260 members. You know, I don't know. She asked how many are under 18? A lot. Well, I'm pretty sure it's over half. We have a lot of young kids, which is a blessing to see. I was just talking to Hack earlier today, and he was mentioning that, talking about going to a Reformed church, and the idea that the person he was talking to had in his head is, oh, it's a bunch of old people. He said, no. There's a whole mess of little kids there, which is amazing to people to find out. But that's, again, where God is blessed. James. 62 households with 260 members. And, you know, we have had a rash of, you saw those pictures. It's been 14 years since those pictures. So that little guy, he's taller than I am now. We've had some young men grow up in the church and become to the age where they are their own household. So we've got several young men that are their own households, as well as those who are married and have kids and things like that. So, Jennifer. Yeah, that was one thing I guess I didn't mention. Christian education is one of the things that the CREC has are these things called memorials. And it's almost like a white paper stating the beliefs on a particular issue. And one of them is Christian education. That is critical and important to have the kids have a Christian education. And so that includes both a Christian school or homeschooling. Across the CREC, that is there, where families are using one of those two. And probably in most congregations, they're like ours, where most homeschool. But there are quite a few Christian schools as well. Moscow is one of those three churches that started up in Moscow, Idaho. And there's a big Christian school that they have there. Auburn Avenue, everything happens down there, it seems. They've got a Christian school going and things like that. So there are a mixture of those. Does that answer that question? Blake. Yes, there is. There is a 1.5 day now. Is that what it is? It's meeting right now. 1.5 days on Thursday. Tuesdays is a half a day and Thursdays is a full day. Ozarks Academy. So that they've been assisting with homeschoolers for several years now. I don't know how many years? Do you know how many years, Ryan? 7 years. So that is available as well. Any other questions? Okay. Next week, is it's worship, right? Why we worship the way we do, so you can come with your questions about that. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your many and great blessings to us. To know that it is you that worked to plant this church. It is your church, not ours. You worked in each of our lives to put us here at this moment. And we pray for your grace and your work in us, that we would grow as disciples of Christ, that we would grow as those who help and encourage one another in the body, and then also as a church here that has an impact on the world around us, around our homes, around this community in Springfield. We pray that your gospel would go forth, that the truth of your word would go forth and be multiplied, that we could see other churches planted and growing, and you being glorified as our God and our King. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.